Good morning. Good morning. All right. Y'all can hear me pretty good? Awesome. Great. So good to be here once again with y'all this morning. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had enough to eat. I'm pretty sure we all did. And more than enough, right? That's the good thing about Thanksgiving. We always get more and more than we deserve. But it's always good. It's always good. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited to preach today. You know, our regular preacher, Duane, is not here today. He's out of town. And I hope I can fill his shoes today, at least do half a decent job of as good as he does. I tell you what, I love Duane. He's a great person to work with, and he's a great preacher, a great encourager. And he always has time for me in the office. You know, I like that. I love my preacher. I love my preacher. I love working with Tony. I love working with Scott. Well, they make it great. You know, they make it great. You too, Miss Diana. I'm not ignoring you. And Sandy as well, you know, and Sarah when she's here. It's a great atmosphere in the office. We just love each other. We like each other. And as far as I know, they say they like me, right? even when I whistle a little too loud or sing a little too loud. So sometimes they come and shut my door, but that's okay. That's okay. It's part of working with strange people. So, anyways, today I want to talk to you about Jesus, the greatest leader. And I had a set of slides that I wanted to show you, especially to ask you. On one of them was, I had several pictures of people. And let me see if you can guess who these people are, okay? The first person that I was going to talk about was a gentleman with no hair, very scrawny, with glasses. He lived in India. You pretty know much who I'm talking about. He started a revolution in India. Instead of fighting, he did a hunger strike. His name was Gandhi, right? Mahatma Gandhi. The second person I wanted to show you was a person as well with no hair. He usually wears some red robes. And he was in Birmingham not long ago, right? He's a reincarnation of so many descendants. And he is the Dalai Lama. The third person I wanted to talk to you about, you know, we had a mid-crisis with them back in the, I believe it was the 70s, where we did an embargo on his country, and he always wore military-style outfits. He always wore a hat, and you probably know I'm talking about Fidel Castro, right? Fidel Castro. And there was a couple more I wanted to show you. One of them was, you probably know this guy. He was known as the British Bulldog. Right? He's quoted by so many people. He's quoted by a lot of scholars, quoted by a lot of regular folk people. And he was the Prime Minister of England during World War II. His name was Winston Churchill. That's right. And the last person I wanted to show you was this person. Everybody knows. He always posed, he said, "I cannot tell a lie." And one of his famous pictures is him kneeling next to a horse and praying. And he was the first president of the United States. Right, George Washington. Now, what do they all have in common? What do they all have in common? There's one thing that they all have in common. They all were leaders in their world. They were all great people to their people at some point, at some time. Right? So, but they were leaders in their own time, in their own perception. However, a couple of them, we could say they're questionable leaders, right? Now, this is the thing. They were leaders. The difference is that some were good leaders, others were bad. Others ruled their country in different ways. Others ruled their country in ways that you don't want to live there. In fact, that's why people wanted to get out. In fact, that's why people just, they tried to do anything that they can to get away from that type of leadership. I want you to open your Bibles in Matthew 20:26. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. We're going to start with this, and we're going to see the style of Jesus' leadership. And I want us to see how we can imitate that today. That leadership that changed the world. I mean, think about it. We're talking about 2,000 years ago. And even after he's dead, we still know about him. We still rule our lives and guide our lives according to his commandments, according to his word, according to what he said. And this is what Matthew 20:26 says. "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant." And this is the concept I want to introduce to you today, which is servant leadership. The servant leadership that says, "I must serve others. I must serve my family." And then the verse that we read in John chapter 13, verse 12. And Glenn did a great job reading that scripture. And there are some things that I want to emphasize in chapter 13, verse 12 of the book of John. It says, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, let's just stop there. See, in order to do that, in order to wash the disciples' feet, Jesus had to take off his outer garment. Let's say, I'm going to take my suit coat, right? And I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to maybe roll my pants up because I'm about to get dirty. I'm about to wash some stinky feet. Not only stinky, but, you know, muddy, dirty, all of that. Can you imagine? No pedicures back then. Had those type of nails. I mean, they were pretty bad, right? And so Jesus, he doesn't care. He's just about to do that. And then he says, and then he resumes his place and he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? That is an important question. If I was looking at the disciples, right, at that time, and I said, do you understand what I have done to you? If I was one of the disciples, I'd probably be saying, I have no idea. Because I've never seen it. Nobody's ever washed my feet before. Yeah, I wash my feet when I go into a house. They offer me water. I wash it for politeness to enter into that house. But to have somebody wash my feet for me, I don't think that's ever happened to me before. So I'm pretty sure I can see the disciples saying, I have no idea. And then he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Now, this is interesting. So are we supposed to be washing our brethren's feet? Are we supposed to be just washing everybody's feet from now on, every time they come to church, every time we go to their home? What is Jesus teaching us? What is Jesus saying about washing of feet? This is what he's saying. Then he will say, truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor a messenger is greater than the one who sent him. And I love what he says next. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. This is the big difference, my brothers and sisters, in Christianity. In Christianity is that we just don't listen to the word, then we go and apply it. Then we go and do it. We listen to the word, and then we put it into action. We listen to the word, we listen to what Jesus says, and then we go and take heart on it and put it into action. That's what makes Christianity different. Now, the thing is that we're talking about today is servanthood. Jesus is saying we got to serve our brethren. We got to be there for them. We have to be able to roll up our sleeves, pull up our pants and say, what can I do for you? That's what Jesus was trying to tell these disciples here. Now, Jesus will say something else about leadership in Matthew 20:25. If you want to look it up, Matthew 20:25, he will say something else. And he will say something more interesting here about the leadership that the disciples were seeing around the world. This is what he says. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their great men exercised authority over them. It is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see how the Gentiles do it? Do you see how the leadership of that time did their leadership? They lorded over them. They loved to exercise their authority. They loved to exercise their authority to say, I am the boss. I am the highest person in here. Do as I say. Oh, isn't that interesting? And isn't that nice to have that type of authority, that type of leadership, right? To say, I'm above everybody else, therefore you gotta do what I tell you. Can you imagine if Christianity were to work that way? Where would we be if Christianity was that way? How many people would be following Jesus if Christianity would be that way? We are here because we want to be here. We are here because we want to be part of the church. We are here because we love Jesus. We love his word. We love heaven, and we want to be part of that church. We are not forced into Christianity. And that's why Christianity is the greatest way to understand leadership, to understand servanthood, because Jesus still is speaking to us after all this time, after all these years. However, the world doesn't do it like that. In Mark chapter 10, it's the same thing as in Matthew, But Jesus will add something interesting here in Mark chapter 10, verse 43. He says, those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. And then Jesus will add this phrase, but it is not so among you. I love that. He's leading the disciples, he's leading the apostles, and he's showing them how to do it. But then he reminds them, when you are in a position of authority, it will not be like that in the church. It will not be like that among you, among the brethren, because we are all part of the church. We are all servants. We're all here to serve the church. In fact, I was trying to look for the word leader in the Spanish Bible, and I couldn't find it. I don't think I tried. Have you ever tried it in the English Bible to see if the word leader is in the Bible? Anybody here ever tried to look for the word leader in the Bible? Let me know if you find it. I couldn't. Maybe a different version will say leader in the book of Acts, right? But most of the time you will find a common denominator when somebody is in a position of leadership, and that is servanthood. He's a servant. He's there to serve. Can you imagine if we were to do that in our community? Right? That's why we choose the people that are making decisions over the state, over the country, because they are here to serve the people. Now, wouldn't that be great if that really happened? The word servant in Matthew 20:27, it means a slave. But not every slave was a servant. Not everyone. There were some slaves that were free. I'm sorry, there were some servants that were free, and then some slaves that were not free. But the word that Matthew uses is the word slave. We are slaves, right? So that person who wants to be great among you needs to be your slave. If we want to be great among everybody else, we need to be slaves. Slaves to that cause. Not a slave. Let me get this straight. It's not a slave to say, I need to do everything that you tell me to do. But it's the availability to support, to help the person that is there with you. Now, people in leadership positions want to lead the same way they were led a few years ago. I remember working, in the secular world, and sometimes people will say phrases like this, just do it because I tell you to. Just do it the way I told you to and you'll be fine. Just do it right the first time. I'm pretty sure you've heard those expressions before. Right, and sometimes we use it in our home as well. Right, I know I use it a lot with the kids, a lot, often, constantly. Just do it, sweetie. Just do it. Don't argue with me. Just do it. And that's what I had learned from my parents. Right, sometimes you say you become your parents. Well, that's what we do. But it's interesting that Jesus uses a different approach for us to help people to get where they need to be. Because Jesus, he didn't just command people to do things. He showed them how. Just before he sent the 70 on a mission, you know what he did? Before he sent the 70 to heal, before he sent the 70 to preach, before he sent the 70 to do the mission work, Jesus was already doing it for about a year. He was showing them how to do it. He was guiding them. He was teaching them. And then he said, now I send you. And it's interesting because the apostles, they're like, okay, I'm going. And when they came back, they were so excited. They were so happy. They were so thrilled that even the demons obeyed. Isn't that something? Because Jesus showed them how to do it. In our families, we need to do the same thing. And this is where I want you to, stop for a second. Because in servant leadership, we need that in three ways. We need that in the church, we need that in our families, and we need that in the community. We need the leadership of servanthood in those three aspects in our lives. Now, I was reading a little bit about servant leadership, and I thought, man, this is interesting. I read it not too long ago. But then I started looking up, and somebody else had come up with it some time ago by the name of Robert K. Greenleaf. He wrote the book of The Servant. It's called Servant Leadership. And this is what he said about that. This was his approach. The idea of servant leadership goes back to at least 2,000 years. The modern servant leadership movement was launched by Robert K. Greenleaf in 1970 with the publication of his classic essay, The Servant as Leader. It was in that essay that he coined the words servant leader and servant leadership. And this is what he says. The servant leader is servant first. It begins with the natural feeling that one wants to serve, just to serve first. Then conscious choice brings out an aspire to lead. That person is sharply different from one who is leader first, perhaps because of the need of unusual power or drive to acquire material possessions. The leader first and the servant first are two extreme types. What that means is when we are in a position of leadership, what is it that we want to accomplish? What is it that we want to do? Do we want to be in a leadership position because we want to make decisions? Do we want to be in a leadership position because we want people to respect us? Do we want to be in a leadership position because people will say, oh yeah, that was a great job, well done? His idea was that a servant leader is, you want to be a leader because you want to serve. You aspire to be something else. You aspire to that position because you want to make a difference in whoever you're working with. You want to help them grow. You want to help them to become more than they are right now. And that's what a servant leader does. And that's what Jesus did. And that's how he showed us to do it. He sacrificed his life. He wanted the disciples to become more than what they were. They were just fishermen. And these fishermen changed the world. They were just tax collectors. And these tax collectors changed the world. They were physicians. And they changed the world. These were just regular men with regular jobs at that time, but they all had one thing in common. They followed Christ and they changed the world around them, and they keep on changing our world today because of that servant leadership. Because they wanted to serve, to be in that position so that they can serve. It wasn't for them to gain popularity. It wasn't for them to say, great job, job well done. They wanted to get there so they can serve. And then we go to Jesus. In Luke 1:26, verse 1:26 through 38, is the story of the angel speaking with Mary, just before Jesus was going to be born. And then in verse 30, Luke 1:30, this is what happens. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I love that. She found favor with God. I love the fact that God can look upon us and say, I like that. Or I like you, right? And not only that, but she found favor. God was pleased with that person. And after the angel told her everything that was going to happen, this is what Mary said in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to his word." Isn't that something? Something different was going to happen in her life. Something great was going to happen with her. She's never seen it. She was just, this is the will of God. This is what I'm going to do. This is the will of God. Let it be done to me, as he says. And this is interesting because that is the attitude that we ought to have when it comes to the word of God. When we hear the word of God and we hear something that we haven't never done before, we ought to say, let it be done according to his word. I'm going to do what God is telling me to do. I read the scripture today. This is what God is saying I need to do. This is what I'm going to do. Now, God wants us to be leaders in our home. He wants us to be leaders in our church. He wants us to be leaders in the community. And this is where I want us to go. We're going to move a little bit fast. Good, we have 10 more minutes. Awesome. 1 Timothy 3:5. 1 Timothy 3:5, this is what he says. "But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God?" I know he was talking about the shepherds of that time. But managing the household is not an easy thing, is it? It's not an easy thing because sometimes we can get it confused with our household. We can get it confused with, I'm the head of the household, so I'm the leader of the household. Well, that's an interesting concept. The question is, How are the people under your leadership? How do they like it? Are they happy? The people under your leadership, do they like to follow you, or do they follow you because you might get angry or because you might throw things? I don't know. Do you see what I'm saying? We can be good leaders in our household, or we can be bad leaders in our household. We can have the people in our household follow us because they love Christ and they love us, or we can have people follow us because they have to do it. We gotta take back that leadership in our household. We gotta be the good leaders that God wants us to be, to lead our families to Christ, to lead our children back to God, so that we can get back to heaven together. We gotta take back that leadership. We can be tyrants in our household. We can be monarchs in our household. We can be authoritarians in our household. Or we can be servants in our household. We can help our families grow. We can help our families succeed and serve them the way Jesus served his church, the way Jesus served us. God has called us to be leaders in our home. He also will say this in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. We love the church. And that's how we gotta guide our families. We gotta love them. The wife is not the enemy. The husband is not the enemy. We're not trying to compete to see who's better. We're trying to succeed together and helping our children succeed as well. We are meant to love our families. God wants us to love our families. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to have a lot of mistakes. I'm going to have a lot of mistakes. And I'm so glad and I'm so thankful my wife still loves me. My kids still love me. And I love them. See how love just becomes reciprocal. Reciprocal. I think I'm saying it right. Right? You give and you take. You give and you take. It just keeps on going when there is love going around. But when there is hate going around, you just kind of wait for that person to make a mistake so you can point it out. That's not how God wants the family to be ruled. That's not how he wants the family to function. Because if it's all about pointing out fingers, guess what? I'm going to have more fingers pointing at me than somebody else. And guess what? He wants us to be the same type of leader in the church. Because he wants us to love the church. And guess what? We're going to make mistakes. And he doesn't want us to be pointing out a finger every time somebody else makes a mistake. He wants us to wrap around them and love them. Because that's what will help them grow and serve them. Because somebody doesn't make a mistake just because they make a mistake. Because there is something going on in their lives. Because there is something affecting them. And we need to help them so they can grow. So that they can get closer to God. That's the whole purpose of servant leadership. And then he wants us to be servant leaders as well in the community. Proverbs 16:12, this is what the Bible says. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, for a throne is established on righteousness. It's time for the church as well to get involved in the community where somebody can represent and say, you know what, this is how a good leader is supposed to be. This is how a righteous man is supposed to act, to serve the people. This is how somebody ought to show them. I mean, we can go back for centuries. I grew up in Mexico, and I can tell you that the leaders just serve themselves. We are the country of Mexico is the fifth largest economy in the world. But when you go to Mexico, you don't see that. You don't see it. You see two sides. You see the people that have a lot and the people that barely making it. There are different types of leaders. See, this is how God wants us to be. He wants us to be a servant leader to help the church. And then in Exodus 18:21, when Jethro was talking to Moses, Moses was overloading himself with work, and Jethro told him, this is not a good thing, but this is how we're going to fix it. Furthermore, you shall select of all the people able men who fear God. This is when they were going to choose the leadership in their people, in their community, in their nation. Wouldn't that be great if we were to pick men in our community to serve our country who can say they fear God. Men of truth. That's something. Men who only speak only truth. Men who love the truth, no matter how it hurts. And then those who hate dishonest gain. And you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, and of fifties. That's something. This is how God wants the leadership to be. Honest. He wants it to be of truth. And he wants it to be people who fear God. If we apply these three as well on ourselves, on our household, in our church, in our community, I'm telling you, we can gain our country back. We can change our family. We can change our community. Because these are the principles that God wants us to have in order to have that leadership. Because the leadership is not, again, about the person doing the work. It's about the people that you are serving. For that reason, Jesus said, that's why I came to serve, because I'm going to give my life as a ransom for many. He came to serve us, brethren. He came to give his life for us so that we can do the same for others. You know, it is a great example, but it is hard to do. Servant leadership is not an easy thing. Servant leadership, it takes a lot of work. Servant leadership takes a lot of humility. Servant leadership will put you in a place where you will have to question, do I really want to do this? Because it's easier for the mind to say, just do it. Can you imagine if we were to act like that in the church? Just do it. Just do it. It'll be easy, right? But we have to motivate. We have to inspire. We have to set our hearts on fire, because we don't do Christianity because people force us. Because we do it because we love Jesus. Because we love his church. And that's why you're here. And that's why you're here. We can take that leadership. Get involved in the church. Show your family that this upcoming year, you're going to take that position of leadership that God has given to you, and you're going to help them grow. You're going to have those Bible studies with your boys and girls. You're going to have those Bible studies with your wife. You're going to have that prayer time with your boys and girls. You're going to have that prayer time with your wife. You're going to have that leadership that God wants you to be, and then you're going to help them grow. They're going to be so much better, closer to God next year than they were last year. Don't beat yourself too hard over your past mistakes. Don't beat yourself too hard over things that you haven't done in the past, because Jesus always gives us the opportunity in the now. We can always start now to take that leadership position that God has given to us. He said, the man is the head of the household. But don't ever forget the next part. Just as Christ is the head of the church. We're going to give an account to him of how we managed our leadership. We're going to give an account to him of how we treated his children, his daughters, his sons. We have to rise up. We have to take that leadership position and say, from now on, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve my family, and I'm going to serve my community. And if this morning you're ready to make that decision, if this morning you are ready to commit to God that you want to take that leadership position, if this morning you are ready to just come to Christ and let him help you to get into that position and to work it better, we invite you to come as together we stand and as we sing.